On today's episode of 23 is the Mic, we preview the weekend games in the NFL and the college football season. We also have a recap of the news and notes of the week. We have a Champions League recap. The first round of group stage games happened this week. And I give you a breakdown of my QB rankings that were unveiled yesterday on our Instagram page. So without further ado, let's get into it. It is Thursday, September 16th. Welcome into 23's The Mic. It's been a great week. We have a lot to get into. A jam-packed show today, as mentioned in the intro. We have injuries. We have QB rankings. We have Champions League. And we have Week 2 picks. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, 23's The Mic, at 23's The Mic on Instagram. My personal Instagram is at NadeemN22. So this week we unveiled the first rendition of the QB rankings, but before we get into that, I want to start with some news and notes. So we'll start off with the big news of the week, Clay Helton being fired from USC after being the head coach for the team, previously the interim head coach, previously the offensive coordinator and on the staff. He worked his way up. He was the head coach since 2015, and USC is one of those powerhouse Pac-12 markets, powerhouse Pac-12 teams, what they're supposed to be, as the Pac-12 is kind of faded outside of the picture when it comes to the big conferences in college football. The Pac-12 over the last, when I was growing up, USC was always a powerhouse. And then in the mid-2000s with the rise of the SEC, the Alabama takeover, the ACC rise with Clemson, you have the Big Ten with Ohio State, you have the Big 12 with, for now, Oklahoma, with Oklahoma leaving to the SEC in 2025. Clay Helton held this job for so long, probably 2 years past when he should have been fired. And now it's a huge, huge scenario here where you have a top three job, right? You have the in-state recruiting in California. You have everything. In USC is the Los Angeles school. Like, UCLA isn't as big of a football school as USC is. So the legacy, the tradition, you have to bring in somebody that will have that kind of same, someone that can carry that torch in a positive light. They have not been able to do that. They have had bad recruits and coaching since Pete Carroll was their head coach. So the guys like Eric Bieniemy and Josh McDaniels are names that are thrown out there, but it's going to be interesting to monitor what USC does over the next few weeks to see if they bring in somebody to interim, and then they'll have somebody maybe for the long run. But for me, it just doesn't make any sense to make this move 2 weeks into the season or 3 weeks into the season, due to the fact that you could have just had him fired and had a whole coaching search over the offseason. And yeah, I don't know what they're going to do there. Mike Bone has never been a guy to make correct decisions. He was the AD at USC right now. He was the AD at Colorado. He was the AD at Ohio. So we'll see what he does, but it's going to be interesting, like I said, to monitor. In the NFL, injury news all over the place. We have Raheem Mostert. Oof, my fantasy teams suffered big from this. Raheem Mostert, chipped cartilage in his knee. He was originally weeks. However, a personal choice of his own was that he will undergo surgery and be out for the entire season. So he's gone after just two carries, 20 yards. And that's all we hear from Raheem Mostert for this year. Unfortunately, an injury plague season last year, injuries throughout his entire career. And this offseason, he was talking about how he's done with injuries, he's beefed up, he's got the muscle, and it took two carries to take him out for the entire season. DeMarcus Lawrence, a huge blow for the Cowboys, the best defensive player probably on the Cowboys, broke his foot in practice. He's going to be out for about 4 to 8 weeks. Probably the latter, if we're being honest. A broken foot isn't anything that's easy to come back from. The Cowboys, oof, what a blow. After a great week one performance against the Bucks, the Cowboys lose their main defensive star. And it's going to be hard to come back from this because, one, your secondary is terrible as is. You have Trayvon Diggs, who's going to have to step up huge, as he did in the Tampa game. But we're going to see what happens because this is a huge blow for the Cowboys' interior line. Their pass rush in general, Micah Parsons is going to have to play a huge role in his rookie year if the Cowboys want to make any noise, because that defense, they have Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, good guys, Van Der Esch, if he can somehow revert to his rookie form, but that defensive line is taking a huge blow with this one. Odell Beckham Jr., coming back from an ACL injury, he is out for this Sunday against the Texans. Kevin Stefanski gave him a go last Sunday against the Chiefs. They wanted to see what he would be like on game day. He went out and practiced in warmups, and he could not go. This week, Kevin Stefanski is basically taking it out of his hands, and he's saying he's out 3 days before kickoff, 4 days before kickoff. And so those are the injury news and updates. Again, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback for the Washington football team, hip subluxation. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. He's going to be placed on IR. So not a ton of news, thankfully, but again, like, we're losing running backs left and right. You started off with Cam Akers, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, those three Ravens running backs right there. Raheem Mostert. Now, Elijah Mitchell is the next step up, and we'll see if Trey Sermon is active, as he was inactive for week one. Let's see what Kyle Shanahan does. Really confusing guy, Kyle Shanahan, that. Before we get to the quarterback breakdowns, I want to just jump right into the Champions League that happened this week. The group stage of the Champions League, we had games like Man City, Leipzig was probably one of the big ones. Liverpool, AC Milan, everyone wanted to see. But I want to start off with Manchester United facing Young Boys, the Swiss team, Swiss champions. And Manchester United going up on a Ronaldo goal. Cristiano Ronaldo already 3 goals for Man U. However, Young Boys came back. It was 1-1 with about... I think a minute or two left, and Jesse Lingard puts a ball into his own box. I think he was trying to pass back to his defense, and it got away from him. It was a give-me goal, wide open for Young Boys. They ended up winning 2-1. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the United manager, has now lost 7 of his 11 Champions League games for United. PSG brought out the stars in Neymar, Mbappe, and Messi for the first time, all three playing together. Only end up tying with Club Brugge from Belgium. It was kind of disappointing. Messi had some golden opportunities that were missed, but, you know, he'll bounce back. Jude Bellingham had a great performance leading Dortmund to 2-1 victory. Liverpool ended up beating AC Milan with a dramatic goal from Mohamed Salah, 3-2, and a late winner from Jordan Henderson in the 69th minute. Real Madrid with the late winner beat Inter on a Rodrigo goal. Bayern Munich thrashes Barcelona without no Messi. However, it wasn't bad as 8-2. It was 3-0. Robert Lewandowski had 2 goals. Thomas Muller added one as well. All the England teams, aside from Man U, won. Chelsea beat Zenit 1-0. And Manchester City beat Leipzig in a thrilling game. 6-3. If you like points, that's where you get points. Jack Grealish had a goal assist. Gabriel Jesus had a goal. Angelino, from the former City man for Leipzig, ended up getting a red card in this game. And it was good to see Riyad Mahrez finish a penalty kick. So that was all dandy. Champions League back. It's great to see fans in the stands as well. It provides that kind of playoff atmosphere, that playoff vibe. So looking forward to see what happens in the next group of games. And now, switching gears a little bit, I want to dive right into the quarterback rankings. A lot of fanboyism definitely out there in regards to this, in regards to the problems with it, people's issues, whatnot. So I want to break down the methodology for what these quarterback rankings are based on. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go on our Instagram page at 23sthemike. Check out the quarterback rankings. These rankings are based on, number one, the most valuable component of these rankings, the most merit, is based on the current season. And I know that it's just 1 week, but that's the point. So these rankings are going to be fluctuating quite a lot. These aren't standard rankings where I think that these players will end up end of season. Okay? So this is based on the current season. That's what I wanted to make it based off of, so that it's always moving, changing from week to week. But this is who are the best performers this season. Number two, strength of your opponent definitely matters. Case in point, Tyrod Taylor, 270 passing yards. However, 2 touchdowns against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are probably the worst defense in the league. That's why he's not rated higher. He definitely played well. Credits to him, but let's see if he can do it against a better team. That is actually the worst defense in the league. Number three, overall value coming into the season. Where did I have them ranked at? Where did I think that their value is at? Patrick Mahomes, is the most valuable player in the NFL. Deshaun Watson, if he were on the list, if he were playing, would be number two. Tom Brady just came off of a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers just came off of an MVP. Now, when it comes to guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, it's much harder to kind of give them that overall value because they're in that range of like 6 till 12. They can be anywhere in that. And number four, quarterback situation, his knowledge of the offensive system, and he's coming off of an injury. Okay. That is definitely a huge, huge situation when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, when it comes to Jared Goff adapting to his new system. I ranked them higher because they were able to show, they showed me in their first week how they're going to play. Ryan Tannehill was very low. Why? Because in the first week of with the new offensive coordinator, it looked bad, right? Aaron Rodgers, dysfunction all offseason leads to dysfunction in week one. All right, so let's start 1 through 10. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs, obvious pick here. All right, he had 3 touchdowns, the 75-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill, comeback win against the Browns, who are, you know, top 3 team in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes in September alone, a 125.0 passer rating, highest of all time. He could throw an interception on his next 15 passes and still have the lead in that category. 35 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 11-0 in the month of September. September Patrick Mahomes is maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. Number two, Tom Brady against the Dallas Cowboys on the first game of the year, shaking off all the Super Bowl rust, all the Super Bowl hangover expectations, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You bring your guys back. Down in the fourth quarter, comes back and wins the game. Classic vintage Tom Brady. Number three, Kyler Murray. The most impressive performance from week one for me. 4 touchdowns through the air, 1 touchdown through the ground, completely dismantling a Tennessee Titans team who have big expectations for this year and are in contention to win their division, who won their division last year. Kyler Murray absolutely dominated the Arizona Cardinals look for real after week one. Number four, Russell Wilson, again, balling out against a Colts team that is good. Now, the distinction, a lot of Seattle fans are coming at me, why isn't Russell Wilson ranked higher? Well, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, for me, were exactly 4 and 5 in my rankings at the beginning of the year, coming in with overall value. Kyler Murray has just that week one performance was just better to me. I mean, it is better. It is 4 touchdowns, a touchdown on the ground, 5 total. Russell Wilson had 4 through the air. Bombs to Tyler Lockett. Nonetheless, beautiful balls, but at the end of the day, Kyler Murray to me was more impressive. At 5, Aaron Rodgers. Now, a lot of people are like, well, why isn't Aaron Rodgers lower on this list? 133 passing yards, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. His worst performance, maybe of his entire career. Aaron Rodgers has built up a legacy and a reputation over the better part of 15 years. I don't think that that needs to, that alone speaks for itself. I don't think I need to come up here and defend him. Now, to me, he won the MVP. He was at number one coming into this season. So one bad performance, he's already up at 5. If he were to have a similarly bad performance against the Detroit Lions this coming Monday, then we'll talk about dinking him lower. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like he's going to come back, bounce back, 3-4 touchdowns this month, this Monday. He's going to go off against the Lions. At 6, I have Matt Stafford with the Los Angeles Rams. Now, Stafford's case is very interesting as he dominated the Bears. Like, dominated the Bears. He looked awesome in a new offensive system with new weapons around him, a new team, a new situation. Matt Stafford is basically the epitome of what I think that for my number four, that situation category for my methodology. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about situation, knowledge of the offense, being able to come in and just ball out to start. Number 7, it is Dak Prescott. Look, Dak coming off of a freaking injury to his ankle, season ending, to look like he did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and to only get better as that game progressed was amazing. He was able to come back. He was able to grab the lead. He had his own game-winning drive, and the Dallas Cowboys led. If it wasn't for it, obviously, the GOAT on the other side. Dallas is probably winning that game, and that's why Dallas' outlook for the rest of the year, to me, is one of the big changes I have, because I didn't have Dallas ranked that highly going into the season. With Dak, with those weapons, I think that offense is going to be humming. Justin Herbert at number 8, probably the most underrated and overlooked QB performance of the week. Justin Herbert took down a top 3 defense in Washington. He was able to be poised, calm. He didn't go crazy. He did what he needed to do, and they won. And that is against one of the best defenses he'll face all year. Look for a huge sophomore season for Justin Herbert. At 9, Derek Carr. Let me read you some numbers. Derek Carr in the fourth quarter when trailing against the Baltimore Ravens, who have a formidable defensive passing or defensive attack, he had 166 yards, 12 of 17, and a touchdown. Now, look at these third down numbers. 7 of 10 on third down, 5 first downs converted. That is good. 70% on third down is good. And in overtime, 101 yards, 4 for 7, and he had a touchdown. Derek Carr turned it up in the fourth quarter. Not to mention not only the touchdown, but in the fourth quarter, when trailing by 3, with 40 seconds left to go, 2 passes needed, he gets it into field goal range for a 55-yard field goal for Daniel Carlson. Now, this is where the big contention came from my cousin Jamal. Josh Allen at 10. Josh Allen played a very good defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers. However, he looked bad. He looked like he was throwing the ball all over the place. He didn't have that poise that we were used to seeing last year. And again, based off of what we saw in week 1, Derek Carr was the better quarterback. That's it. Lamar Jackson, who Derek Carr beat, is 11. And we'll just go through the first 15 and the rest of it doesn't really, like, you can put it in whatever order. So, like I said, Derek Carr beat Lamar Jackson. Lamar in overtime, costly fumble to lose the game. The Ravens had so many points in this game, I felt, where they could have just put the game away and they just refused to. They kept letting, their offense kept letting the Raiders just back into the game. Baker Mayfield at 12, 321 yards, 1 costly mistake. 321 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to hear about he didn't have touchdowns. They had 4 rushing touchdowns. They run the ball when they need to. He brought them all the way down the field. It wasn't like this run game was doing all the work for him. He looked amazing. He was throwing dimes. And he almost had it again up until that one mistake, 321 yards through the air against probably the best team in the football. And I think, I truly believe the Cleveland Browns are the one team that will stop, that can stop the Chiefs. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati, look, what an amazing performance coming off of that horrific knee injury against a team that you were favored to lose to so easily. Joe Burrow came out, he got Ja'Marr Chase involved after a terrible training camp. Everyone's down on Ja'Marr Chase. He spread the ball around, T. Higgins got involved, Joe Mixon got involved, Tyler Boyd had 4 targets. So Joe Burrow is primed for a good year. Number 14, Jalen Hurts. Listen, Jalen had a great year, or a great week, right? He played well, very well against the Saints defense, who were ranked as one of the best last year. However, this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons, the only reason why I don't have him higher, he played great. He balled out. He did it through the air. He did it on the ground. I just want to see more against a really good defense because Atlanta is one of those bottom-tier defenses that we talked about. And Jameis at 15, Jameis Winston. Now, he should be higher on this list, 5 touchdowns. However, the lowest passing yards for a 5-touchdown game since 1941 is insane. 148 yards through the air, 5 touchdowns somehow. Jameis was just on fire against that. That game, to me, is such an anomaly. It's so weird. I can't take anything from it. The only thing I can take from it is that the Saints defense is for real. Because Cam Jordan, however, with Marshawn Lattimore out, that was huge. To me, that's huge. And we'll see what they do. So those are the QB rankings. Again, you want to find them on Instagram. Go grab them from Instagram, and you can comment and let me know what you think of those QB rankings. We're going to do QB rankings and power rankings every other week. So next week is going to be power rankings. Give it some time to breathe. Want to see a lot of fluctuation and changes based on the methodology. So we'll see how that goes. All right. It's time for the week two picks. I want to start off with the premier games in college football. We have Nebraska at Oklahoma at 12 noon on Saturday. I'm going with my boys, the Boomer Sooners, going number three Oklahoma, by the way. So they'd be in the college football playoff. Cincinnati at Indiana. Watch out for the upset here. Indiana has been terrible to start out this year, but last year their defense was really good and Michael Penix Jr. was a lot better. But I'm going to take Cincinnati. Alabama at Florida is the premier game at night. I'm going all in with Alabama. And Penn State, Auburn, number 22 against number 10 Penn State. The only thing I don't believe in Bo Nix. But I want to go Auburn. I want to go Auburn here, so I'm going to take Auburn for the upset. The NFL slate will start off with tonight's game, the Giants at Washington. I really wanted to pick the Giants in this game. I really, really did. I just can't find a reason to. The Washington defense is going to be pissed after losing in week one against the Chargers. They're going to come out on all fronts. They're going to get to Daniel Jones. They're going to stop the run with Saquon Barkley. Fantasy owners, don't try not to start Saquon if you can tonight. I like the football team here. I think Heinicke. See, the thing is with Washington, like, they really need to go to quarterback school and get somebody, because I think, and this is crazy for me to say, I think Mitch Trubisky would thrive in this offense with Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson, that offensive line. I think it's a great spot for him to, because I think he's better than Heinicke. I think he's better than Cam at this point in his career. So we'll see what they do. But yeah, I like Washington in this game. I think Gibson is going to be a workhorse again. Ron Rivera with this type of running back. First it was Christian McCaffrey. Now it's Antonio Gibson. Maybe he can turn him into a featured back. And I think just based on that, based on the running game, I think they can win this game. Patriots at Jets. Nothing really to see here. Mekhi Becton out 4 to 6 weeks. A huge loss for the Jets and that offensive line in terms of getting anything going through the ground and protecting Zach Wilson. I like the Patriots here. Denver at Jacksonville. Again, I really want to pick Jacksonville in this game, but I just can't get myself to do it. Denver, especially after what Houston did to this defense last week, I like Denver in this game. Buffalo at Miami. I'm going to go the Dolphins here. I think that the Dolphins are going to bounce back after a kind of subpar performance from Tua. I think that this game is actually a really good game of coaching. You have Sean McDermott versus Brian Flores, two of the best coaches in the game. Buffalo is going to be upset about that week one loss to Pittsburgh and letting go of that 10-point lead. Miami's going to come out firing as well. I like the Dolphins in this game. The 49ers at the Eagles. I like the 49ers. Too easy for me. I think this is the test for Jalen Hurts to see what he's really got. That 49ers defense, however, is vulnerable in the secondary because they did lose Jason Verrett. Ooh, that does put things into context. You know what? I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going to go Eagles here. Upset alert. Philly. Give me Philly. The Rams at the Colts. I like the Rams here to continue what they're doing. Matt Stafford getting gelled in this offense. I really like that. That pairing of Matt Stafford and Sean McVay looks brilliant so far. And Carson Wentz will, I feel like, get eaten in this game. The Raiders at Pittsburgh. Upset alert here. The Raiders can carry that momentum against the Steelers defense. However, the Steelers defense, that front seven with that secondary is amazing. Phenomenal. I like the Steelers to win that game. Bengals at the Bears. Oof. I'm going to do it. I'm going Bengals. I'm going Bengals. I just don't like... I don't like what the Bears have going on offense. It's David Montgomery and vibes. Andy Dalton doesn't look good. The secondary for the Bears looks atrocious. With these weapons Joe Burrow can cook, I like the Bengals in this game. Houston at Cleveland, give me the Browns. Don't really have to get into that. The Saints at the Panthers, give me the Saints. I like what their defense did last week, and I think Jameis takes another step going towards becoming established as their quarterback. The Vikings at Arizona, give me the Cardinals. That defense is going to eat. If the Bengals could stop Kirk Cousins and get multiple sacks, imagine what the Viking or the Cardinals can do against the Vikings. The Falcons at the Buccaneers, give me the Bucks at home. Titans at Seattle. Titans bounce back week this week. Their secondary will get torched, lit up. but I don't think Seattle's defense is as good. Give me the Seahawks. The Cowboys at the Chargers without DeMarcus Lawrence. It's going to be a tough day at the office for the Cowboys defense. And I'm going to go Chargers. KC at Baltimore, September Patrick Mahomes, we already talked about it. Give me the Chiefs. And Detroit at Green Bay, redemption game for Aaron Rodgers coming off of one of the worst games of his career. Give me the Packers. So I'll have these picks posted on our Instagram page on either today or tomorrow, so be sure to watch out for that. And thank you guys for listening so much to today's show. You can find us at 23 is the mic on Instagram for all of our latest news, updates, picks. All that's going to be on our Instagram page. All the rankings are also on the Instagram page. Find me at Nadeem22. Thank you guys so much again. And it's great to be back. 23 is the mic. We'll have a recap on Monday for the weekend's events. Other than that, we'll see you then. This is 23 is the mic. Love you guys.